Back in 2007, Kanye West was at the top of his game.
BET Award winner.
BET Award.
And a multi-platinum titan artist. All right, y'all ready? Kanye West, bring him up.
Bring him up.
Go ahead, boy.
West was a well-respected producer and rapper. His third studio album, Graduation, debuted at number one on the Billboard charts. And it was around that time that West started declaring himself the voice of a generation. Music journalist Naima Cochran remembers West definitely being a major cultural influence.
I remember people enjoying Kanye as a solo artist, his production, which we were already familiar with, his cadence, his kind of tongue-in-cheek snark and sarcasm. It was a refreshing kind of energy and something that wasn't all the way New York, but also wasn't all the way down south and had its own unique flavor to it.
And she says it was perceived that his sometimes outlandish comments and behaviors were part of the shtick.
It felt then, which is very different now, like Kanye was kind of in on the Kanye's asshole joke, which was actually part of the persona.
In 2018, West revealed he has a mental illness, and some mental health advocates are now pushing for the media to re-examine the way we cover West's actions, his comments about slavery, our current president, and his running for president. Bossy Igbe is one of those advocates. She's also the author of I'm Telling the Truth, But I'm Lying, where she writes about her own bipolar diagnosis. Bossy started our conversation by sharing with me how her own experience of being hospitalized has impacted her view of Kanye West.
It's difficult to watch Kanye West. I think that every single time that he's come out and done something that's caused this uproar in the news or in conversation, I've been able to recognize that it's a manic episode almost immediately. The same way that, you know, someone who has experienced, let's say, diabetic shock or, you know, another sort of invisible illness, they can recognize it in somebody else. So I always feel immediately compassionate. And then on top of that, when people have these conversations about him, it does upset me because what we're saying is that we only care about mental health when we like the person who's experiencing it, right? And we're able to, and when I say we, I mean as a society, we're able to speak about him in ways that are so unkind and lack grace and lack empathy and justify it because he's saying things we don't like. What I've been saying lately is that Kanye is never going to hear you. He's not going to log onto his Twitter and see you tweeting him and be like, oh, they make a good point. The person who sees you, your neighbor who's experiencing a mental health crisis sees you, your sibling who has not been able to tell you or find the language to tell you sees you. So all these people that you do have an impact on are seeing the way that you treat this person, and they're either going to hide from you, they're going to dismiss their own feelings, or they're going to know that they're going to feel as though they're not worthy of empathy and kindness and grace and forgiveness.
This is so powerful because what you're saying is how we outwardly talk about people of influence like Kanye West really speaks to then how people in our lives may interpret how we feel about them if they're dealing with mental illness. But Bossy, I want to ask you, how can we also hold people with mental illness accountable in an ethical way? How can we differentiate between someone's mental illness and their sometimes hurtful actions? Kanye West, for instance, has been called a misogynist. He's been called attention seeking.
Well, here's the problem with that is that I'm not saying that he's not a misogynist. I'm not saying that he's not an attention seeker. I'm not saying that he isn't saying harmful things. I'm saying that it's heightened by his illness. I'm saying that you cannot hold, I'll go back to using the diabetic as an example. If someone is experiencing diabetic shock and needs insulin, before you help them, do you say, well, first of all, before I help you, I want to say that I do not agree with what you said about A, B, C, and D. No, you just help. You just hope that they're okay. You know, holding him accountable is something that people say often, and I don't really know what that means, because if you say and you acknowledge something that I say, which is it's not an excuse. Mental mm-hmm. illness is not an excuse, but it is a reason. It is a reason, and it has to be contextualized. It has to be framed so that people understand that the way that one behaves is the literal definition of what a mental illness is. It does affect the way that he behaves. It does affect the way that he thinks. And this is the part that I think that is unsaid. Someone who has access to the best medical treatment in the world, who is not using it, there is a resentment that shows up. How can you have all this money and all this fame and all this celebrity and all this access and still have the nerve to be crazy? That's what's being said that no one is really talking about, because there's no space for accountability when the person isn't hearing you. And I mean that literally, not hearing you because he's not present, but also not hearing you because the illness is a block between whatever sense you're trying to make and whatever you're trying to communicate to them.
Bossy, how would you like the media to cover Kanye right now? What conversations do you want to hear?
You can't ignore him because he's you know, too big, more or less. But because he's been so open about his diagnosis, when you speak about him, you have to also have a simultaneous conversation about mental health, bipolar disorder. Doctors should be spoken to about the symptoms that are listed, because I've also realized over these last couple of weeks that people don't know what the symptoms are. Using myself as an example, I don't have the access or the resource or the personality to, you know, put together a rally in South Carolina. But my version of that is tweeting for hours and days on end nonstop. My paranoia doesn't show up in these right-wing conspiracies because that's not my personality to start with, but it does show up in calling someone hundreds of times because I'm worried that they're mad at me. You know, it shows up in different ways. And I think that we tend to get really stuck in these definitions that allow us to decide whether or not somebody is worthy of empathy.
So in thinking about all that you said, empathy, yes, we should all have it. But really, you want all of us to be open to having real conversations with the people in our lives who may be dealing with mental illness. And Kanye West just represents that for us.
Yeah, he's the most visible person with a bipolar diagnosis in the world right now. So he represents more than just someone that people are projecting onto. He represents all of us.
When you were first diagnosed with bipolar, you say you were looking for people to talk with who had a similar experience, especially in the Black community, but you had a hard time finding those connections. It's part of why you believe visibility matters.
Yeah. I have a level of privilege that allows me to be vulnerable. And I know that not a lot of people have that. So what I can do is be transparent and vulnerable so that someone can either A, say, this is a mirror. This is someone that feels the way or seems to feel the way that I feel, or it's a window. This is someone that looks like what my sibling or parent or coworker that I don't like, or the guy that cut me off in traffic or whatever. This is a window into what they possibly could be going through. It's not exact, but it's always for me about opening up the chambers of empathy that are not predicated on pity. That if we're trying to have really honest conversations about mental illness and the way that it affects the Black community, especially because we are pathologized and criminalized in ways that other people are not, we have to keep having these conversations and put them in context of the bigger picture, as opposed to these very personal projections that I just don't think are fair to him, mm-hmm. but also not fair to us as people.
Bossy Igbe is a Nigerian-American author of I'm Telling the Truth, But I'm Lying, and a mental health advocate. I really appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you or someone you know is dealing with a mental health crisis and want to talk, you can call the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Their helpline is 1-800-950-6264.